My name is Kiara, and you are listening to the Rising Tide Podcast. This is a Hawaii-based podcast centered around conversations that have anything to do with business and entrepreneurship, creative ventures, and lifestyle. Basically, anything that has to do with living your best life through exploring your passions and following your dreams, we want to have a conversation about it. As a collective, the Rising Tide aims to explore the question of how can we achieve success and happiness in what we do? Through discussion, we also dive into what it means to immerse ourselves in meaningful work that is positive and impactful not only to our lives, but also the lives of our communities. We want to encourage others to stay engaged and stay inspired so that in the good that we do, we are the rising tide that lifts all ships. Mahalo, and thank you for listening. Before we begin, I want to talk to you guys about my sponsor. He's a very good friend of mine, and his name is Chris Mooney. He's an accomplished physique competitor, a National Academy of Sports Medicine certified personal trainer, and a brand ambassador for the Iron Boar Lab supplement company. He knows all about functional strength mobility training, and he's a wealth of knowledge in most aspects of fitness. Now, if you started the new decade resolved to finally do something to improve your health and get in shape, then I'm talking to you. The best way to get started is to get serious about your fitness and enlist the help of my good friend Chris. Everyone deserves the opportunity to build on their confidence and feel good about themselves. But sometimes the only people that are holding us back from that are ourselves and the excuses that we make to start tomorrow. Now, if you know me, you know that fitness and wellness is extremely important to me because I truly believe that our health is our wealth. And on a personal note, cancer runs pretty prevalent in my family, so taking control of our health became a huge priority. And of course, you know, there are all sorts of other benefits to proper nutrition and exercise, including, but not at all limited to, better brain and heart health, increased flexibility, increased stamina, and better endurance. Not only will you look better by adapting a healthier and active lifestyle, but most importantly, you'll also feel better. But don't let me lecture y'all on things that you guys already know about. So act now and hit up my buddy Chris to learn how you can get on track to your best health. Chris offers affordable group training sessions at Powerhouse Gym in Aiea, but if you mention the Rising Tide podcast when you hit him up, he'll give you 20% off of your first private personal training package. So call him or text him at 816-456-8471, or you can check out his Instagram, which is at Chris Mooney Official. That's at Chris, M as in Mike, O-O, N as in November, E-Y Official. Cool. Well, now let's get into this episode. Today's guest is my friend Liberty. Liberty has an academic background in journalism and communications that started over at Waianae High School. Now, after graduating high school, Liberty then went on to continue her education at Hawaii Pacific University. And since then, she's now become a multimedia producer at PBS Hawaii. In the time that she was working at PBS Hawaii, Liberty also worked to launch her company called Popokian Tea. Her company partners with the local nonprofit organization Cat Charities, where they get together and throw monthly pop-up adoption events, and customers can show up, drink some tea, and support Cat Charities' efforts to socialize Hawaii's feral cats, get them off the streets, and adopted into loving homes. What started as a collaborative monthly pop-up has now grown into a full-blown cat cafe in Kaimuki. It's a really, really exciting time for Popokian Tea because they just opened their doors for the first time on February 13th of 2020. You can find them over at 3424 Waialae Avenue, right next to the public pet shop. So make sure you check out their Instagram and their website to reserve your time over at their cat cafe today. And please also feel free to let them know that you heard about them from the Rising Tide podcast, because that'd be pretty cool. Anyway, in our conversation, we talk about how Liberty's love for animals is rooted in her childhood growing up on a local farm. We talk about how she started her business, the challenges that she's had to learn her way around, and of course, about developing Popokian Tea's very first cat cafe location. If all of that is not already impressive, Liberty also holds a seat on the board of directors for Hawaii Women in Filmmaking. Those guys are another local nonprofit organization, and they're committed to providing a broad network of resources, education, leadership, and support to our young Hawaii women that are interested in expressing themselves through film and other media. All in all, I really hope that you guys enjoyed this chat as much as I did, because I've really enjoyed talking to Liberty. She's such a genuine person, and I very much admire her drive to impact the community in a positive way. She's exercising her strengths and talents in multimedia production, communications, and business savviness to be active in the betterment of the community, She's definitely someone to keep up with in 2020 and the upcoming years as she continues to grow her business. So, without further ado, let's get into it. But you were saying earlier that you, your friend does a podcast, right?
She does. I don't know where she's at with it, but it's a podcast that she and I were trying to start a couple of years ago, and then we stopped. And I think it's because we try and then we stop. And I think it's because she has other creative pursuits, and I obviously have my creative pursuit, which is my business.
Yeah.
So I think we've just found... We found momentum somewhere else. I don't think it means it's never going to happen. I just think that we've found other creative outlets. You know, what I
like that perspective.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, like, you know, it's not like a
we're slackers. Yeah, it's like we're doing other stuff.
You know, it's, that's something that I've actually been kind of like battling with, sort of the pressure that you put on yourself to like get something done. Mm-hmm. Actually, with this podcast, you know, I just recently transitioned into real estate.
Yeah,
and you know, getting the ball rolling with that is slow going sometimes, and that's been challenging. And I've been trying to do that, and then do this podcast and like stay like, you know, up to date, one weekly episode every week.
Yeah.
But what I realized was, you know, maybe I should take a step back from the podcast and give it a break, and then, you know, apply myself 100% into real estate so I can, you know, generate some income,
right?
Kind of get the, you know, get my foundation set.
Yeah.
But when I thought about that idea initially, I was like, man, I feel like a failure. You know, I feel like I failed balancing.
No, because I don't think it needs to be 100% one way or another. I mean, if both were super important to you, you'd make time for it, right? So like, maybe instead of doing it every week, you could do it every other week or once a month.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, that's exactly what one of my friends had told me. I had brought it up to him, and I was like, dude, what do you think about this? Like, does it make me a complete failure? But he was like, no, you know, like, if you need to, you know, stretch it out, you got to do what you can, you know, and when you can. And it's okay. It's okay to, like, take a step back so you can take two steps forward.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, that resonated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I really like that perspective. And also, you don't want to also, if this is something that fuels your creativity, you don't want to completely eliminate it from your life.
And that's another thing too, I feel in my heart is like, I don't want to give this up. Like, I love this. This is a lot of fun. It's been such a great learning experience, and it's just been fun. I've been meeting great people like yourself, and, you know, having good conversations, and kind of like getting my foot in the entrepreneurial community, which I find is filled with so much talent. So it's been a great time.
Yeah.
But cool. let's talk about you, though. Enough about me. Sorry. I do that sometimes.
Okay. No, don't worry about it. No, I mean, never apologize. It this is your podcast also, so.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Yeah.
but so, who's Liberty? Tell my listeners. Introduce yourself.
So my name is Liberty. A lot of people ask me when they first meet me why my name is Liberty, and it's because I was born on the 4th of July.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm so glad they chose Liberty and not, like, Independence or fireworks or something really weird.
Some people have some wild names.
Yeah, yeah, but they chose, you know, pretty decent name.
I like Liberty.
Yeah, Liberty it stands for a lot of things, right? It could get pretty deep.
100%. You know, speaking of deep, like, I really believe in the power of a name. And do you subscribe to that belief? Like,
I mean, I kind of wonder, is it because you have that name and you feel like you have a certain ideal that you have to live up to, or maybe it's vice versa where,
that's a good perspective. I don't know, you know, maybe
subconsciously, because I never was like, oh, I need to be like independent in my own person, but it is something that I think
maybe some people might feel that way if they don't, if they don't have like an organic understanding of who they are, you know, but I feel like I feel most people, at least the people that I've met, when, like, if I see them, this sounds kind of weird, but if I get to know them and I'm like, wow, like, you really fit your namesake, like, you're really coming into that name power. I feel like it just happens, you know, it's just natural. Like, it's something they're born with. It's like their name is meant for them, you know?
Yeah.
Or they're meant for their name, rather.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, Hawaiian names, right? I mean, their name is like, a story, like a short story.
Yeah, my my ex, his long Hawaiian name, or maybe it's his sister, but they both have really long Hawaiian names, yeah. And they were both named not by their mother, but by somebody else. Now that I think about it, they both really fit their names.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, so outside of Liberty, what else are you into?
So a little bit more about me aside from my name.
Yeah, let's dig a little deeper.
So I grew up in Waianae, actually.
Oh, hey.
And West Side, yeah. So, my entire childhood, like just from as far back as I can remember, I always grew up around animals. Mm-hmm. My dad was like, I don't want to say he was like Dr. Doolittle because he wasn't a vet,
but he was Dr. Doolittle.
But he could talk to the animals. No, I'm just kidding. No, but yeah, we always had a lot of animals around. We lived on like a 3-acre farm. And so we had like chickens and ducks and a pig at one point and dogs. And
I heard pigs are just like dogs, like when you raise them.
Yeah, true? They kind of are. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're really, I don't know if this is like a known thing, but they're pretty intelligent
animals. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And we kind of just take them for granted because we think, oh, bacon. But yeah, they're pretty smart. So it was kind of funny, like, so I've always grown up around this sort of fascination and, I don't want to say need, but I noticed when I moved to town, maybe like, how long ago did I move to town? Almost 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when I first moved to town, I didn't have any pets. And it was just
weird.
Yeah. 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 I was like, oh, this is like really weirdly like quiet.
Yeah.
and the first part, like, I had roommates, so it maybe wasn't as like as apparent because I had roommates around. Mm-hmm. But then once I lived on my own, it was just kind of like, oh,
it's a little empty. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not that my family are animals or anything, yeah. But like, I felt the same way when we separated and I moved out on my own.
Yeah.
My house, I have a big family and they're all super noisy. Love them to death. But you know, being in my house by myself in the like quiet was so weird.
Yeah.
And it definitely took an adjustment for sure. So I can imagine it was very similar.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So, maybe 4 or 5 years into me living in a town, I got this, job at a startup,
mm-hmm.
And that job basically took me to, I traveled a lot for that job. And my boss at that job was super into cats. I had never owned a cat. My dad said he despised cats, which I think is a lie. I think he just thought he did.
Dude, my ex used to say that cats were like the physical embodiment of evil. And I was like, man, that's so really harsh. That is super harsh. But then we met a really cool cat, and like literal cool cat. And I was like, I'm not so bad.
Yeah. I think that's what it is, because I don't think I hated. Hate's kind of a really strong
word.
It
is, yeah.
But I just never really knew a lot about them because I mean, literally the only cat I really had contact with was like this, it was a beautiful cat, but it was like this stray white cat that would like roll up sometimes at my family's farm. And, you know, I always thought it was like a really beautiful cat, but I was also just like, I know nothing about you or your species.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were like friends from a distance.
Yeah, I was like, I'm just going to admire you from afar. But, yeah, so my dad was never really a fan of cats. He claimed he was allergic also. Flash forward to today, he now has 2 cats.
Oh, so. Shout out to dad.
Yeah. I think it was because of me, actually. But going back to my startup job. So my boss there was super into cats, and he had pitched into this Kickstarter campaign for this cat cafe in Washington, D.C. They now have a location in L.A. too. But at the time, they were just starting up their D.C. location. And it was a cat cafe. And I had no idea. You know, I had never been to Japan or Korea, so I had no idea what cat cafes were. And he explained to me what they are. So for people who are listening who don't know what a cat cafe is. Cafes, like, generally speaking, they're sort of like, Starbucks likes to use that phrase, third place. Mm-hmm. They're like a third place. Yeah. So they're the place in between where you live and where you work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically a place where you go and hang out with people.
Yeah.
Or maybe meet with clients. Mm-hmm. Or actually kind of like what we're doing now. Yeah. Sort of. But like not usually
recording. Or you can record a podcast. Maybe. I might try that. Well, no, Starbucks is really noisy.
I was going to say, Starbucks is kind of noisy for a podcast. Unless you want that, like, you know, ambiance in the background.
I've been doing that. Like, the last few episodes I've recorded have been in, like, quite noisy places. Yeah. But I wanted to get, like, that feel, you know, like we're in the middle of, like, a marketplace or something like that.
We're in a cafe.
I'm messing with it.
So it kind of depends what you want. But, like, if your podcast is about hanging out in the cafe, like...
Yeah, it would be perfect.
Was it Jerry Seinfeld has the coffee and... The comedians and
cars coffee.
With coffee or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's
cute.
Like, oh, it's in a car. So, but anyway, we're talking about. So
I like you already. Like, so just so
we go off on weird tangents. Yeah.
But you know what? Though? I think that's great. Like, for anyone who's listening, like me and Liberty literally just met like 10 minutes ago, and yeah, I already feel like a connection.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is like the best conversations happen like this. But stick with this, people. So my boss at the startup was super into cats. Mm-hmm. Contributed to this Kickstarter campaign for a cat cafe in DC. That's how I learned what cat cafes were. And it's basically, so you take the idea of the social component of a cafe.
And throw in some cats.
Throw in some cats, basically. Yeah. And in, you know, in Asia, so the idea originated in Taiwan, mm-hmm. like almost 20 years ago.
Okay.
And there's like over 100 cat cafes in Japan now. So usually when you bring up cat cafe, the idea of a cat cafe in Hawaii, because so many people have been to Japan in Hawaii, they're like, oh, yeah, like the ones in Japan.
You got something they're familiar with, right. Yeah.
What's different about how cat cafes work in the U.S. is that because of our health department, it's a lot more strict about combining food and animals. Mm-hmm. So because the health departments in the States are a lot more strict, usually the cat cafes in the U.S. are separate. The cats are in separate rooms. Mm-hmm. So usually, you know, like I call it like a cat lounge, like a lounge that you can enter within the cafe if you want to play with the cats.
Yeah.
But also if you just want like your beverage, you can just, you know, like a regular cafe, like visit.
If you don't
want to
like
bubble tea. Right.
Hang out with the cats. Yeah. Like separate.
Yeah. Or you could do both. You could get your drink and then go inside the cat room. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a really interesting concept, and at the time there weren't any. I think there is at least one attempt that I knew of someone that was trying to start a cat cafe
here in Hawaii,
and I found that out later. But at the time, I was just like, wow, that's a really cool concept because it's a way for a business to also make some social impact, which is something that resonated. I mean, I worked in the nonprofit industry I'm still in it for the last decade. So it's always been important to me to do, if I'm going to be doing something, it should be something that has some sort of social good in it too.
Something impactful and meaningful.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the chance to also kind of unleash my creativity. Cause that's something that's always driven me too.
Yeah.
So it was just that perfect intersection of those things. So, the thing that I kind of, I don't want to say regret, but maybe I wish I could have acted on that idea sooner because I think I spent a lot of time kind of going back and forth about, oh, should I do it?
Yeah,
it's really hard. Like, I don't know.
That's so natural, though.
Yeah,
right. That's super natural. And like, I mean, everybody kind of faces that. But you know what? I think it's great that you actually took the step because most people get stuck in that, right?
Yeah.
And I like what you said earlier about all of these ideas kind of being an intersection. Or, this one idea of the cat cafe being an intersection of your creativity, your impactful social work, and then, like, your passion for animals. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was perfect. And because I think in the back of my head, I'd always wanted to run my own business. I actually remember, I was thinking about the other day, like, so I have a younger sister, so when we were kids, we'd, like, you know, we'd play with, like, our toys and stuff, like, any, like, normal kid would do, but I specifically remember, like, we'd pretend to, like, be at the swap meet and sell each other toys and, like, invisible, like, objects.
That's
and
so
stuff.
True. Like, hey, sis, let's go play commerce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? Here, you give me the invisible, like, Monopoly money, and you get your toy. So I think in the back of my head, I had always wanted to run. I just didn't know what that would look like. Mm-hmm. And so when this came about, I was like, okay, well, I spent a lot of time hemming and hawing. And then at a certain point, I was like, you know what? Like, I should just try it and see how people respond to it. And if people aren't into it, then I know that this isn't worth, you know, my time. So what happened was I reached out to a few cat cafe owners on the mainland.
Okay.
And I heard back from one of them, and he and his, I don't know if it was like his wife or something, but they co-owned a cat cafe in Portland. And he got back to me, and he actually had a consulting service where he talked to other people about
how to open up their own.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So I worked with him, and it was great because he gave me a roadmap on what to do if you wanted to. Really, if you look at his outline, it's really just an outline of how to start a business.
Yeah.
But there's like, obviously there's specific things about cat cafes that he included in there. And one of the things that he stressed to me was, you know, seek out local, like maybe classes at a community college or something that teach you how to start your own business. Like that was like, that was like a non-negotiable to him.
Yeah.
So after he told me that, I did some searching on the internet and stuff, and I found this program at the Patsy T. Mink Center for Business and Leadership, which is like this, it's this resource that's located at the YWCA in downtown Honolulu on Richard Street. And they do this 7-week, or at the time it was a 7-week program. I don't know how it's structured now. I know they've changed it a bit since I did it 2 years ago, but it's called Launch My Business. And I went through the 7-week program where they basically teach you, like, they break it down into sections and they kind of present things in order of how you should do things, or like the ideal way, I guess, of doing things to start your own business.
Like a structured way.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is great because like I had no idea. Yeah, exactly. Like if you just kind of go into it blind, you're like, okay, well, what do I do? What do I do next? Like what paperwork do I have to file? And yeah, so that gave me a structure to work with, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I also met a lot of other people that are in the same boat where they're either just starting a business or maybe thinking about starting a business or maybe just started their business and they're trying to like organize things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great, I would suggest if you're listening and thinking about starting a business, maybe look into that program. Again, it's called Launch My Business. And, the Business Action Center at Nimitz was also really helpful too, because they kind of showed me like the different, I mean, it's very like paperwork and stuff that I had to fill out.
That's like the boring part of like starting a business.
Yeah. Like registering it is, I mean, obviously a very important part, but like, whatever, it's like paperwork, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they showed me the forms to fill out and
like
stuff.
It's necessary, like you have to go through those like hoops and loops.
What other resources? So lately I've been working with the Small Business Development Center in Manoa, and they that's just another resource. They provide free business counseling to people who are interested.
And you're not a student at UH Manoa, right?
No.
Okay.
No, so I graduated from Hawaii Pacific University, like, how long ago was that now?
Yeah, because...
like 10 years ago. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because I wanted to make it a point that, like, you know, people who are listening, if that is a resource that they're interested in using, like, they don't have to be a student, you know?
Yeah, I actually didn't even major in business. So I majored in advertising.
Okay.
Which, you know, marketing, when I was talking to the guy that owned the cat cafe in Portland, he was like, yeah, the best cat cafes are run by people who come from a marketing background. Because marketing, I'm not saying anything, but just like I'm not saying anything about myself, but I'm just saying like, a lot of business owners, I think, struggle with that piece.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, how can you have a successful business if people don't know you exist?
Exactly.
So yeah, that makes 100% sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not like, you know, if I build it, they'll come. It's like, well, not if they don't know about it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's funny. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that you just said that I really like and I want to kind of dive into.
Cool.
But before we do that, let's kind of backtrack a little bit and go ahead and tell us about your business, because we've kind of like just dove right into it. But, you know, I want people, because I'm super geeked about your company and what you plan to do with it. But I want everybody else to know like what the background is, because we just like jumped into
talking about cat cafes. Sorry. Yeah. So I should give the elevator speech. Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I'm the founder and owner of Popoki and Tea, and right now we exist as a pop-up. So we host these once a month cat cafe pop-ups in Kaimuki, where people can come in, play with adoptable kittens, and also buy some of our boba tea. And it sort of gives a quick glimpse into the cat cafe experience. Mm-hmm. And we'll soon be opening a permanent cat, like a brick and mortar cat cafe in Kaimuki in a few months. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah. So that's who we are in a nutshell.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. So that's like kind of like the background of like what we were talking about with how you transitioned from nonprofit work to opening up this cat cafe.
Yeah.
But what in nonprofit work were you doing? Like what kind of, what type of industry in nonprofit?
Oh. Well, specifically, I'm still there actually, but I come from a media background.
Okay.
And media communications marketing background. I majored in advertising at HPU, and my first job out of high school was actually like even when I was in high school, because I went to Waianae, right? So, and they have that, they have
oh, they have an amazing media program.
Yeah, their yeah. media program, and actually I'm on their board. It's so weird. I'm on their board of directors now. Oh. It's like, oh, I'm old now. But yeah, so I went through that program, and I was actually one of the few students that started as a freshman, because usually they wouldn't accept anyone younger than a sophomore. Mm. And so by the time I was 16, I was already writing TV spots for like HMSA and like some pretty big deal clients.
That's
right?
Cool.
Yeah. And so I feel like the marketing thing has, it just comes as, it's like second nature to me, mm-hmm. because I've been doing it for so long. And I worked at like a marketing agency in town while I was going to school at HPU. And for the last, oh my God, like 8 years now, I've been working in public television. Mm-hmm. So I ran their communications department. So I was doing all the marketing and social media and stuff for them with my team. And like managing their website and all that.
Yeah.
And so, but even that, I mean, because it's public television, it's nonprofit, right? So there's always like that mission of education and essentially bettering people's lives, which has mm-hmm. always resonated with me, which is why this idea of running a cat cafe is resonating with me too, because it's, you know, you're also bettering people's lives by giving them this experience that maybe they can't have. Maybe they have a family member who's allergic to cats.
Yeah.
So they can't have cats at home.
Or they can't have pets because they're a landlord or exactly. something like that.
Right, which is a really common, and that's actually why I couldn't have a pet for a while too mm-hmm. when I lived in town, was because, you know, no pets policy. But it's also obviously like bettering the cats' lives, because the more cats we can get adopted out, or the more cats we can house in our, you know, eventual cat cafe, mm-hmm. the more additional cats our partner rescues can save.
Yeah.
So it just kind of affects a lot of things. So so we work with a nonprofit actually. So Popoki and Tea, we partner with a nonprofit that their role is rescuing cats that are strays. Or maybe they're like ferals that are considered friendly, mm-hmm. And they place them in foster homes. So like they're basically individuals who take care of these cats in their own private homes,
yeah.
and they ready them for adoption. So mm-hmm. eventually when the cat cafe opens, the cats will already be ready. They'll be socialized. They'll be yeah. you know
That's
clean
so cool.
and taken care of, mm-hmm. ready for adoption. So. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, too, is, like, working with a nonprofit that's already doing that work.
What's
and helping them out.
What are they called?
Yeah, they're called Cat Charities. It's spelled with a K, K-A-T, instead of, it's the founder's initials, actually, Karen
Aww,
Tyson. Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah. But
that's
it
catchy.
Just, yeah, but it just works out. It's
yeah.
oh, Cat.
She was meant for that.
Yeah, there you go. Another name. There you go. She was meant to be a cat lady. No, but yeah, it's they've been really easy to work with, mm-hmm. and they, you know, from the beginning it was just like, I mean, why reinvent the wheel, right? There's already people in the community that are working so hard to do this work. Why not just like help uplift them and mm-hmm. alleviate? Because the challenge with, especially with rescues that are foster based, meaning they don't have a shelter where they can house these cats and like showcase them.
Yeah.
So they get adopted out.
Mm-hmm.
So the fosters have to kind of do their own marketing and either like post it on social media or post it online.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that element of like actually playing with the cat that's missing.
Yeah.
And they don't have that public platform unless, like, people go to their house or something.
Yeah, and sometimes that can be a little
dodgy. And that's kind of weird. Yeah. So we kind of come in and we provide that public platform for these fosters.
Right. Like them, like, do a meet and greet.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the other thing, too, like, one pain point that I hear from, like, people who, like, are interested in Popoki and Tea but haven't been to an event or, like, aren't sure if they want to go to the cat cafe is, like, oh, I'm afraid, like, I'll end up taking all these cats home. It's like, okay, well, first of all, there's no obligation. Like, the cats will be taken care of at the cafe. It's not like, you know.
We're not pressuring you to, like, take a cat home.
Yeah, the cats are going to live there until they find a suitable home.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're on a deadline or something.
I'm not going to lie. Like, that's a concern of mine, too, mm-hmm. because I see all of the adorable cats that you post on Instagram. I'm like, man, I know I'm just going to take one home.
Yeah. Yeah, but the other thing, too, that we're still trying, like, in the middle of figuring out is, like, you know, I get the impulse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say impulse buy, but, you know, like the impulse to adopt.
Yeah, 100%.
But we wanna also make sure that these cats go to homes where they're going to be
taken care of.
Yeah, they want to. Yeah, it has to be like a, we call it like a forever home, right?
Oh yeah.
Because that's sort of part of the problem why we have such a huge cat overpopulation on this island.
Mm.
I think the estimates run. We have as many as, like, 300,000 cats. And just to put in perspective, there's almost 300,000 people that live in Honolulu. So we have just as many cats on this island as, like,
people
that live in Honolulu. Town. Yeah.
Just in town.
Yeah. So it's just insane. And part of the reason why is because, you know, people will, like, you know, take in a cat and then, I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe they move off island or they decide, oh, this is, like, too hard, which taking care of a cat is, like, way easier than taking care of a dog. But they abandon cat. They abandon their cats. And a lot of the time, the cats aren't fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they reproduce. And cats reproduce really quick. Yeah. So it's kind of led to it essentially comes back to people. It's easy to blame, like, oh, like, these cats, like, why do we have so many cats? Like, well, because people put them there.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's up to people to, you know, be a part of the solution.
Mm. Is that something you advocate for, like, actively when you're, you know, in discussion with people that come to your pop-up events?
Yeah, it doesn't come up, very often just because, people are kind of in and out of there, like, pretty quickly, they're so into, you know, the experience of, like, mm-hmm. petting cats. But people will come up and ask and, like, what should I keep in mind about, like, mm-hmm. adopting a cat? Like, that has happened a few times.
Because I think that's an important message for sure. I mean, I think that it's a little more emphasized with dogs.
Yeah.
But cats, I mean, animals in general. Yeah. And this kind of holds, like, a special place in my heart, this particular topic, because I've only ever had one pet, like, on my own, and it was a dog.
Yeah.
And we adopted him from the Humane Society. And, like, I didn't, before I had gotten him, I never understood, like, the relationship between a person and their dog or their person and their pet. You know, like, when people say they're, like, family, I didn't have any conception of that until I had him. And then getting to know, because he had been in the Humane Society for almost a year or a little over a year, which is uncommon, right?
Right.
And we found, because it was the Humane Society on Kauai, and me and my ex found that, like, they kept him for so long because the staff just loved him, you know, and they didn't want to, like, you know, like, euthanize him or anything like that, or just give him to somebody that wouldn't take care of him.
Yeah.
And in kind of, like, starting that conversation with them, we developed a relationship with them, and I got to learn a lot about how things work in the Humane Society and, like, in the adoption, you know, community with animals, and just learning more about animals, how they respond and, like, the role that they play in our lives, and more importantly our role in their lives.
Yeah, because I think traditionally, I don't know if it's, like, a cultural thing, but some people consider animals, like, more property than, like, a part of a fam, like, an actual, like, sentient member of your family. But I think that perspective, the a pet being a family member, I think is becoming more of the common you know what I mean?
I think so too. Sentiment. And I agree with you. I think it's a little cultural.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, and maybe this, we might get a little deep here, but, you know, maybe the reason why we're going back to, or we were as a society revisiting that concept is because, you know, we're kind of straying away from the, you know, like the technology. I mean, yeah. there was a rise of technology, you yeah. know, industrialization, where we grew away from like our natural inclinations, you right. know, being like out in like the fields and stuff like that,
yeah.
and being in factories and offices and all that. But now as we're kind of coming out of that age, everybody's trying to kind of be more in tune with our natural inclinations,
right.
and in that is our relationship with animals as well, I think. And maybe yeah. that's what's happening.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I think that's why, you know, people are saying, like, I think it's like social, so I don't know who's saying this, I've read this somewhere, where the generation that's younger than our generation, so the kids who are now just coming out of high school, they actually are participating in social, in as a whole, this is a generalization, but like as a whole, they're participating in social media less because, you know, it's just, it's kind of a turnoff for them.
Yeah.
So things are kind of working in cycle. I think things
we're
have always...
We're at the end of a cycle.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I think what you're trying to say is like they're starting, well, actually as a society, I think we're starting to see just the first bit of... what's the word I'm looking for? Like the first bit of, well yeah. So yeah. Because of our first bit of glimpse at the negativity that
right.
comes from how fast technology has gone.
Oh yeah.
Like we're starting to see, okay, wow. Like, okay, now that that's happened.
We got to put the brakes on
yeah,
this. Yeah,
exactly. Like that first wave of understanding
right.
that, okay, maybe we need to just chill out for a second
yeah.
and like reassess what's going on here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, totally. I totally agree. The other thing too is I think humans are social beings.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think we'd, you know, some people joke like, oh, I hate people, but
I no, think but we're totally but, pack animals.
Yeah, we yeah. are. I mean, we you know, back in the caveman days, like you couldn't survive unless you had other people helping you out.
Literally.
Yeah, yeah. So and I think that's also that's where that need to connect to either other people or other animals comes from too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Popoki and Tea is kind of trying to fill that need, that
yeah,
desire,
yeah, yeah.
right?
Yeah.
To connect both with other people, because it's a social space, and,
mm-hmm.
and with pets, with animals.
And I think that's why I'm so geeked about your idea
yeah.
and, like, your upcoming business, because that really means a lot to me, you know? Like, I mean, I know some people hate animals or whatever. I don't, that's weird to me. But, like, you know, like, some people maybe not don't think that they're animal people, but I feel like there really is something to be said about the genuine connection that we have with animals.
Yeah.
You know, it's a
yeah.
natural thing, I think.
Yes.
And, you know, there's so much you can learn from having an unconditional relationship that way.
It takes you outside of yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. The other thing, too, is, like, I feel like people who say, so going back to my dad, who, like my whole childhood said he hated cats and he was, like, allergic, but really just didn't want cats in the house. But now he has two. But I think people who say they don't like animals, it's usually either one of two things. Usually it's either, one, they had a bad experience with an animal, or they haven't had an experience at all with
like
one.
Exposure.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so with the Cat Cafe, it gives... You know, I think it'd be cool to have kids come in and, like, especially kids who have, like, never
yeah.
had a chance to, like, pet a cat.
Yeah.
Because I really feel like it could change their life, because it did for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It's so simple.
Yeah.
And it's just so organic.
Right.
Like, the relationship people have with animals.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why I think this is such a great idea, because
yeah.
you're opening up that experience to everybody. And
yeah.
on top of that, like, you're helping save cats' lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of reminds me of, and maybe like yesterday or the day before that, I saw this video of this guy playing fetch with a beluga whale. Like,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I've seen
I mean?
Like with dolphins too, right?
Right?
That's like, but yeah,
I
didn't think about a whale.
You would never think, because, you know, I think you mentioned it earlier about like people seeing like animals as property rather
right.
than like living beings.
Right.
And then like being able to see and act like that, you know, that's like similar to like what you would see with a dog, which is something that people are more familiar with.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff, like it warms my heart. Like,
yeah.
I think it's so, I mean, maybe it's like really corny of me, but I love seeing
no,
stuff like
I,
that.
No, that's really cool.
Yeah, I'll show it to you later. But, you know, I also think, and I think the reason why I love seeing interactions like that with between people and animals is because I personally feel that it brings us closer to what we naturally are. You know, yeah. Which, you know, like you take away the technology, you take away like social structure or not social structure, but commerce. Just social expectations, capitalism, yeah. All of this, you know, all of these things on a macro level. Uh-huh. And we kind of just revisit what we are as creatures. And right. Sometimes, and I feel like there's a certain level of peace in that, you know. Yeah. And so I think that's maybe why I'm so geeked about like the relationship between human and animals. Yeah. You know?
I just, Pocahontas.
Yeah, yeah.
The Colors of the Wind, like that song is like in my head now. Like, you it think makes, you're in whatever land okay. you know what I mean? Like
you're just as cheesy yeah. as I am. I love it.
Also, you know, that's like a millennial thing, right? It's like Disney movies.
And... I love Disney movies. Don't hate.
No, I love it. But it's true. Yeah, I mean, I think the sort of the dark side of humanity kind of takes over and we forget what we were meant to be.
Yeah, I think there's a balance for sure between mm-hmm. progression and the natural, like the progression of technology and our natural role in the world.
Yeah,
like the earthly world, not like society, right. But yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
pretty cool. And you know, let's talk a little bit about business because that's kind of like the why behind. No, you're yeah. fine. I love this. This is like because like I want. I mean, of course, you know, we do the purpose, you know, is to get together and talk about businesses and stuff. But I think yeah. the most important and vital part of a successful business is the people and the vision behind it.
Yeah.
The why totally. Behind what you're doing, you know. And I feel that if more people understood that that's what's most important.
Yeah.
Then more people would be empowered to start their own businesses. Or,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Or more people would be successful in their businesses because rather than chasing money, they're following, you know, they're following something that means something to them.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So I love that. That was your entire like, you know, background. And that's how passionately you feel about your what you're doing because it's a great idea. Maybe I'm a little biased, but
No. I appreciate it.
But going back to what you said earlier, because you made some really great points when you were talking about how you kind of came across, you know, getting this business started.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to. Well, a couple things I liked. One was that. You sought out a mentor, and that I think is really cool. And then the second part was that you sought out like resources. And the thing about the mentor part is, I feel like a lot of people don't realize that that's available to them. You know?
Yeah, and I think, and it wasn't, you know, I didn't have this thought like, oh, I need a mentor. It was more like I need help, and I don't know what to do. And so it made sense for me to ask people who have already done it.
That makes so much sense.
But you know what? I totally get, because I can get like this too, about like the fear of asking for help.
Yes.
Because of that fear of rejection.
Yes.
And I'm just like, I'm just saying right now, because I've been through, I you know, I continue to go through those phases of like, oh my God, like what if he says no? Uh-huh. It's like, well, he just, that person that you asked just said no, like whatever, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah,
just,
like that's the worst that they can do. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So I sent out, actually, so the guy who responded in Portland, the cat cafe owner, you know, and I had sent out like 5 other emails to like other cat cafe, and he was the one that replied.
Yeah.
So, you know, you cast a net and
see what bites. Yeah, yeah.
So,
And that's very proactive, and that's why I like it, is because, you know, I think especially here in Hawaii and as a culture, we're taught to be modest.
Yeah.
You know, we're taught to be humble and not out there.
Right.
And in certain Asian cultures,
right.
You know, myself included, and I had talked to someone about this on another episode. One thing I hear is like, oh, so shame. You know, like growing up in Hawaii, oh, I'm so shame. I'm so ashamed to do this. I'm so ashamed to do that. But like, that's where we have to kind of step out of that shame and into our power.
Right. Because then, because if you don't, you're just stuck.
Exactly. And then like, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm always like saying this and it's really cliche, but I really believe in it. Like, if you never ask, the answer is always no. You know, if you never if you never put yourself out there, like you're not going to get anything.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect way to do it, is just by asking somebody who's been doing it already.
Right.
You know, and kind of like following in their footsteps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. And again, yeah. If they say no, or if you don't hear back from them, you know, maybe ask, you know, try again or try someone else, because
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel like eventually you'll find someone.
Someone's going to say help. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's another beautiful thing, too, that I'm starting to realize is the more people I talk to that are in business for themselves, regardless of what industry they're in, there's more people than not that are willing to share.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they know, I think because they know how hard it is. Mm-hmm. And if they see someone and they can relate to them and they can see that they're in the same position that they were maybe 5 years ago, then totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, another more recent resource that I found was the guy who runs, I'm not going to say which chain, but the one of the bigger boba tea chains here on the island.
Oh, nice.
He, I ended up buying a bunch of, like, cafe chairs and, like, equipment from him. Uh-huh. And then he was like, oh, like, let me know if you ever need, like, consulting help. So he's actually been, like, behind the scenes, like...
So he totally just offered it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
Oh, I mean, I'm paying him also as a consultant. Yeah, I mean, the fact that he offered it was cool, too. You know, mm-hmm. because he totally could have been like, oh, no, you're another bubble tea place.
Yeah, like, I know your competition. Like,
no. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I think also because of the cat component,
yeah,
you know, I don't think he considers me competition.
Mm.
And that actually, maybe that's something that we could talk about, too, as... that idea of competition. Have you ever read the book Blue Ocean Strategy?
I have not.
Or have you heard of it?
I have not.
So
enlighten me.
So you should.
I'm actually looking for a new book to read.
Yeah.
So this is perfect.
Yeah. Or get, like, you know, listen to the Audible or something. Mm-hmm. But they talk about this idea of, so the traditional idea of competition, right? They call it a red ocean, and they call it that because it's like bloody
in the water. yeah.
And so the example that they used in a podcast was the hotel industry, where everyone's like trying to like beat each other's prices, but also like trying to find like cut corners, and it becomes kind of a mess, because it becomes less about what they stand for and more about just beating the competition.
Yes, girl.
And the idea of beating the competition is ridiculous because a friend of mine told me recently, she was like, well, success is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you always have to work.
You don't just get there and stay there.
Right, exactly. Because there's always other people and whatever. So they talk about this blue ocean where instead of focusing on the competition, you look at what you stand for, who are the people that you're trying to serve, and you operate from that level. You basically, I'm really summarizing it. There's more to it than this, but you're basically being the best version of your business that you can be.
Yes.
Versus like
trying to outmatch somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, you're your only competition.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you keep trying to like change your pricing because of your competition, and then it becomes like, well, now the margins are getting smaller, so how do you grow as a business when your margins are so tight?
And
you know what I mean?
And on top of that too, it's like, if you're only operating your business solely on price, what's the value behind it?
Right.
why should anybody buy from you or buy a service or a product or buy into your business if the only thing that is enticing to them is the price?
Right, exactly. And it's like there's this whole other component that we just talked about the experience, and, you know, providing an experience that's valuable and meaningful, and, you know, what is that worth to someone?
Yes.
Like that's where it should be coming from.
Yes. And, you know, that's an excellent point, because so I read somewhere that you know, people will spend their money regardless. They're gonna if they don't spend it with you, they're gonna spend it somewhere else. And it's not, I mean, yes, you know, it does come down to pricing. You want to have an appealing price
point. You don't want it to be like ridiculous,
like stupid.
Right.
Yeah, but the people are going to buy something that they want, you know. If you are providing a service or a product that is truly adding value to somebody's life,
right,
they're gonna buy it regardless of what price it is.
Right,
you
exactly
know? I mean, I've seen people buy white t-shirts for like $80.
Exactly.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. If you are able to effectively share what you're about,
yes,
and what they can expect when they come into your business, if you find the right, you know, you find the right people who your message resonates with.
Exactly.
They'll be down to, you know what I mean, to come visit you.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being Pollyanna about this, but.
No, I believe it. Yeah. I subscribe to this. Have you ever, speaking of books, like, have you ever heard of Simon Sinek?
Yes.
Okay.
I just listened to an interview. Like, I think he has a new book out.
He does. He just released a new book. Yeah. Yes. And I haven't gotten to it, but have you heard his speech starting with why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the speech that it went viral, and I think he got popular off that.
Yeah, he like broke the internet.
Yeah, I think what's your why?
I think it's like the number one TED Talk. It's like 43 million views or something like that. Mm-hmm. Something stupid. But and that overall concept, I think, is it's something that we strayed away from, you know, when we went from like an agricultural society where we had smaller local businesses mm-hmm. into larger industrial corporations. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say corporations are
like
bad.
Multinational. Yeah, yeah, right. But the way, because of the way that they're structured and their size.
Yeah. And
there's
then,
certain trade-offs.
Exactly. Yes. And then, you know, the larger you get, some companies are not as effective. Actually, more companies than not are not effective in keeping the soul within their company.
Right.
You know, and then, like you said, cutting margins, this and that, then they're mistreating people. Like, it's, you know, right. They're cutting corners in the wrong places.
Right. It's like, think about it. Like, why is this shirt only $5?
Yes. But that's not something like people think about.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so I think that that's a great thing to talk about, mm-hmm. you know, amongst our entrepreneur community, but also talk with regular consumers about, because a lot of consumers don't realize that that's how commerce works.
Right.
And when you kind of think of, sorry, we're kind of like going off on another tangent, but, you know, there are so many different wheels that go into motion, and like it boils down to like the difference between buying your vegetables from Walmart or like Safeway mm-hmm. versus buying your vegetables from Auntie down the road
right.
that grew them in her garden, and you're supporting her family.
Yeah, and she's your neighbor.
And exactly.
You know? Yeah.
And you see the differences between the whys or the missions behind it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So super important, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it ends up being like this vicious cycle because, you know, I get why people go to insert box store, big box store here, because they themselves don't earn enough income to maybe go to a farmer's market or whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
But then it's like, something's got to give. Like, someone's got to take that leadership and say, you know, enough is enough. We need to go back to our roots.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's happening because
it is
because it. Okay, so at my day job, we just had this show about, you know, what is it going to take for things to change for the better for us here in Hawaii? Mm-hmm. Because things are only getting more and more expensive.
Yeah,
the housing supply still hasn't been. We aren't fulfilling, like, you know, our housing supply is still in a shortage.
Yeah, there's not enough housing and there's too many people.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and the housing that is available is ridiculously out of price
expensive.
Range. They're luxury homes. So what is it going to take to finally, like, to address this issue?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going way off tangent.
It's okay. We can bring it back.
Yeah. No, but, you know, it just, I could see from, like, someone's perspective, like, oh, but, you know, I don't have money to, like,
spend at, like, you know, the farmer's market.
Right, or at Whole Foods or whatever. But, you know,
I think what it is, there's a rising consciousness, I think is what you're trying to say, because there definitely mm-hmm. is a rising consciousness as everybody kind of starts to stray away from, you know, big corporations and the understanding that, like, things are always just going to be available. Like, they're starting to realize that, okay, there's something going on here. There's an ecosystem within business, and that directly affects me.
Right.
You know, and I think that that's what's been missing for so long, is people have not been able to see the connection between their, you know, micro lives to the ongoings of how commerce is conducted, you know, through business and all of that.
Yeah. And ultimately it's people that are affected, because people are what run business. They're the ones that, you know, the people who work at
the big box store.
Yeah.
You know, your stuff that you buy there is super cheap, but they don't have healthcare.
True. So here's the word I was looking for in that little, I was stumbling upon my words earlier because I was trying to figure out the phrase that I was looking for. The phrase I'm looking for is true cost. Like people don't realize that when they go to a big box store, like Walmart, for example, and they buy like a $5, you know, t-shirt or whatever it is, they don't understand what the true cost is of that $5 t-shirt.
Right.
It's $5 in your hand. Yes. But what did it cost to make that, both in money and in labor,
right?
You know, in ethics, like, right, you know, the untangible or the intangibles.
Yeah.
But kind of bringing it back around full circle to your idea of competition.
Mm-hmm.
You made a good point about, you know, it's not really competition between you and another business. It's competition, but, you know, just with yourself and your business.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this is something that's always come naturally to me because I've always been in some kind of like team dynamic.
Yeah.
I was always in sports growing up and this and that, but I was taught that competition is healthy,
mm-hmm,
you know, mm-hmm. And I think that as people and as businesses, as we as a society kind of come out of that, you know, or go away from that corporate structure,
mm-hmm,
we're starting to realize that, you know what, that's a truth.
Right.
At least that's how I would hope to see it. I would hope to see that people start to understand that competition is not a bad thing.
Right. It's just like it's inspiration. You could use it as inspiration.
Yes. And you made a good point earlier about how you're working with other companies or other organizations and helping each other.
Right.
Right. Because through competition, that's how we get better, you know?
Right.
Like if I had a boba company and you have a boba company and I see that, you know, your logo looks amazing and mine's just kind of lacking and I'm like,
oh man, I gotta step up my game.
I should step my game up, you know? And the way that I would see that situation is like, wow, Liberty, thanks for being the best you, because you're challenging me to be the best me.
Right.
And I feel like more people should see competition that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that perspective too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're totally right.
And that's like, the rising tide. A rising tide lifts all ships.
You know,
that's the idea. Like, we're here to help each other.
Right.
It doesn't have to be like we're clawing each other's eyes out.
Right. But, you know, it's up to other people to kind of take that perspective too, right?
Yeah.
Because I could see, like, other people being like, oh, well, I'm never going to be as good, so I shouldn't even try. Which is like, really? Like, what are you, 12? Like,
yeah. But, you know, I think it's a give and take. Yeah. I think it's a two-way street because mm-hmm. when you have people like that, right?
Yeah.
I think that's where people like you and I come in and we're like, no, don't think that way.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay.
It's like this is an opportunity to, like, just work on the game. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that. What's been, like, the biggest challenge for you in, you know, starting up your business as a pop-up?
As a pop-up. So, in the beginning,
as a brick and mortar, whichever.
Yeah. No, so from the very beginning, like, one of the first challenges was, there's many challenges, but one that comes to mind is where was I going to host these pop-ups?
Mm-hmm.
Because there aren't a whole lot of venues in town that are pet-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going around to, like, co-working spaces, but they were concerned about, you know, members having allergies.
Oh, yeah.
Which I totally get.
Yeah.
I totally understand that. And, like, a regular restaurant's not going to want cats in their space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I've been doing these pop-ups at the Public Pet because, and it's been great because I actually started there as a customer because I have a cat now.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a cat for a few years now. And that's where I would go to, like, get my pet food because they're, like, right down the street from where I live. And so it kind of developed, this relationship developed organically because I knew Jordan, the owner, Jordan mm-hmm. Lee. And I just remember one day we were talking and I finally decided to, like, tell him, like, what I had been thinking. I was like, oh, yeah, so I'm thinking about, like, starting a cat cafe. And he was so excited about it.
I love that.
And from that conversation, we were like, we should do a cat cafe pop-up here. Because it works for them, too, because they don't sell pets. Because they're of the mindset of adopt, don't shop.
Mm.
So they...
I dig it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they don't have the space to have animals in there. So they just sell, like toys mm-hmm. and food.
Supplies and stuff. Yeah,
right. But not the actual, like, pets.
Yeah.
So we started doing these once a month cat cafe pop-ups, which are essentially their adoption events.
Mm.
And we started doing that in June of 2018. It's now November 2019. So it's been almost a year and a half. And we've adopted out almost 80 kittens.
Oh.
Yeah. From these once a month pop-ups. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I mean, it helps them too, because it drives more attention to their storefront too. So it's like I'm helping a neighbor.
Collaboration.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all about it.
I'm 100% about collaboration.
Yeah, and the other thing too is they were hosting puppy adoption events.
Oh.
But so people would come out for those, but he was having a hard time with the cat ones for some reason, and I think it was because it needed to be marketed a certain way. And I think the idea of it being not an adoption event, but like a cat cafe pop-up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's changing great. The framework of it.
Yeah, that's a great like avenue for visibility.
Yeah. 100%. I think that idea just like really resonated with people.
Yeah. Who doesn't love boba tea?
Yeah.
Everybody loves boba tea.
Yeah. And if you don't, then...
You're lying.
You just haven't had a good one yet. So.
Yeah.
So come to our pop-up. No. If people want to learn more, they can visit us online at popokiandtea.com. Mm-hmm. Right now we're collecting email addresses for a wait list. We're building a wait list. So people who are on our email list get first dibs at the cat lounge.
Oh, I need to get on that email list.
Yes, get on that email list. So just go to popokiandtea.com and you can sign up for our email list. And we're on Instagram and Facebook too.
Very cool. And they can just find you at popokiandtea.
Yeah, popokiandtea. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I imagine that this whole journey, like between the conception of your idea to, you know, the upcoming open of your store. By the way, where is it going to be at?
Oh yeah,
I
signed the lease in July. And
congratulations!
Thank you. It was super scary. But we're actually going to be right next door to the Public Pet.
Oh,
so this is another thing too. Like, there's always like. There's a collaboration thing, but also like serendipity has kind of presented itself in interesting ways.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So we were doing these pop-ups, and I think we were already doing them for almost a year at this point when the space next door to them opened up.
Wow.
And
do you believe in the law of attraction?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. That's what it was.
I really, yeah, I think so. Yeah. And so I went for the space and got it. So
there you go.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
So that what I was getting at earlier was, you know, between all of this, like, what's been your favorite part about this whole, like, just evolution of your idea?
I think at the pop-ups, just seeing how people react to them, like, mm-hmm. just how happy they are.
Yeah.
Or how much they enjoy the kittens or how much they enjoy the tea or just seeing people having a good time.
Yeah.
Because I think that, I mean, that's, like, that goes back to like the root of why I'm even doing this, right?
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't I like seeing that?
Seeing people happy, right?
Yeah.
So,
and then also seeing cats find homes.
Isn't that so sweet?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
people are probably gonna judge me after this episode and be like, "Wow, she's so cheesy." But like, I really love that. Like, you know,
yeah.
I love seeing people. Kind of just like their lives get so much better because they have a friendly
right.
pet, you know?
Yeah.
Or they have a friend from the family or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, because like life is hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so any little bit that, you know, we can, whatever role we can play in like making someone's life a little bit brighter,
mm-hmm.
cool.
Right? Like, why not? Why would you want to make someone's life crummier?
I don't know. There are some people that thrive on drama, but yeah.
what would you say for anyone who is trying to start a business or maybe is like kind of stuck in that, oh well, I shouldn't do what I want to do, or I shouldn't create this idea that I have in my back pocket?
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
I would say try to see if there's a way to, if you're risk averse, like I'm actually kind of risk averse.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that's why it
took
me a
while. That's a great thing to point out.
Yeah.
Because like there's different levels of risk tolerance
right.
for sure.
Yeah. Because I think the sort of stereotype for entrepreneurs is like, oh, like they're all like risk takers.
Hustle, blah, 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 blah. Hustle, hustle.
Yeah. Like, and yeah. Hustle, yeah. And hustle, hustle, hustle. Like
sleep 2 hours. You can sleep when you're dead.
It's like, look, that's not healthy, first of all. But like, yeah, I mean, there's all different types of entrepreneurs, so there's all different types of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little more risk averse than I think maybe your average entrepreneur is. So if there's a way that you can maybe scale your idea to a way that is testable,
mm-hmm.
so that's where we I say we, but it's me, but you know what I mean?
That's a great word, though.
Yeah.
That's a great word. The reason I say that is because, like, you have a bigger mission that's
it's
not
outside
just,
of myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not exclusive to you.
Right. And there are people that are helping me, too.
Yeah.
So that's why this began as a pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't want to make a cat cafe and, like, no one goes to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know what this is why would I want to go to that? So find a way to scale your idea down in a way that's testable, and then see if there's even a viable market for your idea, and then grow from there. Because I do believe that. I mean, the other thing too is, like, you're building a tribe that way too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And that's how, like, a lot of successful brands sustain themselves throughout, you know, the course of, like, their livelihood, is by having loyal customers who believe in their mission just as much as they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you'll be nothing without people that believe in
you. Yeah. And, like, come and buy your boba tea and pet your cats.
Yeah.
But I think another thing to that is also it's okay to, I think it's, like, it's important to have people understand that it's okay to start small.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, myself included, like, maybe get stuck because they're like, okay, everything has to be perfect. If it's not this idea, if it's not this grand concept, and it doesn't fill all of the, you know, requirements to be this grand concept, then I shouldn't start it to begin with.
Yeah, and I had that problem too, right?
Yeah.
Where, I have a vision for this place, but it doesn't necessarily mean I need to
do it all at once.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's room for growth and for experimentation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what entrepreneurship is constant evolution.
Yeah.
And constant tweaking.
Yeah.
You know, so, I really had to, I'm still working on it, but, like, letting go of the perfectionist.
Yeah. In us, you know, it's okay to start small. It's okay to start with where you're at, with what you have. Mm-hmm. And I want that to resonate with a lot of people, or I want that to resonate with whoever's listening, really.
Yeah. And as long as you stay true to your vision and to yourself,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's all that matters.
How do you stay true to who you are?
I think, so one of the things that I learned about myself is, you know, I tend to overthink things sometimes.
Oh, you and me both, girl.
Woods burning.
Yeah, I'm a serial overthinker.
Yeah.
And people, like, it's so bad that, like, even my friends know this. Like, they're like, okay, well, like, they can just see it. They're like, whoa, Kiara, chill
out. Yeah, and same here. They can just look at me and they're like, wow, you're, like, really, the wood is burning.
Yeah.
The wood is on fire. And so one thing that I've learned about myself the last, like, couple of years is to get myself out of that stuck feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I actually learned from Marie Forleo. Do you know who she is?
I love her. Yes.
Yeah, I love her too.
I was introduced to her through Lewis Howes' podcast.
Oh.
You know Lewis Howes?
No, I don't.
Oh,
I
got to turn you on to him. Okay. He's great. You would love him. Yeah.
Okay. So Marie Forleo, she's like this... like, Oprah loves her, but she's like an entrepreneur.
She's amazing.
She has a YouTube show called Marie TV. She has a program called B School, which I did B School too. That was another thing. So she has this program called B School. So basically, like, if you're interested in not just starting a business, but also if you're, she calls it, like, multi-passionate creatives, which is like, oh my God, yes. you should check her out. But, she says that, like, one way to get outside of that stuck feeling is to just move your body.
Literally. Your body, if you're literally stuck, move. Like,
Because your body has, she calls it, like, your body just has so much wisdom inside of it. Like, it's not just all in your head. It's within your body. So I've made it a point to, like make some time to move, whether it's, like, exercising or just, like, walking around or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because that takes you outside of the minutiae of the day, or like the really fine details of what you're working on, and, like, it takes you back to, like, the bigger picture of the why.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that a lot. What's your favorite way to move?
Oh, okay. So have you heard of Legree Fitness?
No.
So
what is that?
Or it's called the Legree Method. So it's this workout that it's a lot like, oh God, I feel like, do you know Pilates, like, on the reformer? what a reformer is?
No, not really.
It's actually, your listeners might not know me either, so I'll explain. So, when you do Pilates on a reformer is like this machine. It looks kind of like a bobsled that's fixed to the floor, and then there's like this carriage that moves front to back. So imagine that.
Okay.
And the megaformer machine that I use in this Legree workout, it looks very similar to that, except there's way more springs and the carriage is heavier. Mm-hmm. So it's a way to get in some low impact cardio, but it's essentially an endurance workout.
Yeah.
So you're doing all of these like squats and lunges and like other like Pilates type moves on this machine, but you're doing it under all of this resistance and you're moving very slowly because it's sort of like the antithesis of CrossFit, which I also really I did a boot camp for like years before this. And then I had an injury and I had to cut back. And this was one of the things that I like discovered in my like quest to like for more low impact stuff. It really challenges your body to move slowly because we're trained from all of these other like workout methods to move fast and use your momentum.
Yeah.
But using momentum doesn't challenge your different part of your muscles.
You take away from the use of the negative in right. in a exercise. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of runners come in and to that studio. This studio is in Kailua too, and I live in Kaimuki. Oh, so wow. I go it's to the other it. Side of the island. Yeah, it's worth it. And my trainer's really good. It's hard to find. I feel like it's hard to find a good trainer too. But you like four really slow four counts in each direction. Like say you're doing a lunge. So it's like 1, 2, 3, 4. And even that's a fast count, like, you know, down and then back up for four count under all of this resistance. And it kind of trained. It's so it's sort of like, so one of my best friends really loves yoga. And for me, this is sort of like my yoga where it takes me to where all you're thinking about. Like, you don't have room to think about how shitty your day was.
Because you have to be present.
You have to be focused.
To perform this movement.
Yeah. So it's almost like, it's almost meditative in a way. Because you really do have to focus on what you're doing.
It is. Yeah. And I'm really glad that I asked you that question. Because I think that I got a lot more from that answer than I was really anticipating. No, in a good way.
Yeah,
in a good way. Because, like, there is a direct correlation that I feel is completely understated in our, you know, in our current culture and our current habits between there is an underlying correlation between the mind and the body.
Yes.
And it's easy to forget that sometimes for a lot of people. And in that too, there's a lot of metaphors that can be found in the process of achieving, you know, your physical state in achieving business as well.
Exactly.
There's so many different metaphors.
Exactly. And that's exactly why I do Legree Fitness.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I'm so glad because I never heard of it up until this point.
Well, it's kind of a new, it's one of those, like, I didn't know this because I met the trainer first. She was teaching at this Pilates class. It was like a free Pilates class and I had always wanted to try Pilates. So I went and I was like, man, she's such a good trainer. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh yeah, I'm actually trained in this thing called Legree. And she explained to me what it was. And it was like, it's basically this workout that's like big in LA, like Victoria's Secret models do it. So like if you look it up and you see all that stuff, it's like, oh, like, but it's actually really
hot. So I have no doubt it works.
No, but you know what I mean? It's like a trendy workout, like whatever. But no, but it really is effective because it's hard to find a mode that you resonate with too. You know, like some people really like yoga. I still haven't quite gotten there with yoga, but I really like this because it challenges me. And my trainer is also really good, and she brings it back to those metaphors where it's like you're gonna go through a lot of hard stuff in life. Like this is nothing. Like you can get through. Like this is short term. Like you only have 30 seconds left. Like like push through it.
Yeah.
Like so it trains your mind to be mentally strong because there's gonna be a lot of, especially when you're starting a business or anything, like anything that you're going through in life, there's gonna be a lot of crap thrown your way, and you need to develop the mental capacity to fight through it and keep going.
100%.
You know what I mean? And
you have to get that mental fortitude from somewhere.
Yeah. And because a lot of people quit before they need to.
Yeah.
And this is another thing that she always says at the at the, you know, in the classes is like, you know, don't quit, like, don't quit before you need to, because you're almost there.
Yeah, like, don't quit, or like, you don't stop when you're tired, you stop when you're done.
Yeah.
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 I totally get that. You know what? I am so angry that, like, I scheduled a meeting after this, because I have just had, like, a pleasure talking to you.
Oh.
And I really want to keep going, but we have to cut it short, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. No,
but, it has been such a pleasure talking to you, and I feel like there's so much more that we could talk about between the two of us.
We could do part two.
I think so. And I think I'm going to take you up on that, because I love your perspective about business. Yeah. I love what you're doing with your business. I think all these things are coming together really, really nicely for you, and I'm excited for what's happening. And I think that there are a lot of people that can really gain from your experience as you go through this transition.
Thanks.
From, you know, pop-ups to your brick and mortar. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and the journey is still unfolding. It's not like it's ended. So
yeah.
There's still a lot more to go.
Yes. So, I want to revisit that.
Yeah.
So, but in this conversation, though, I think we got a lot of really good things talked about.
Oh yeah. I think so too. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Really? I'm so
glad. Yeah. It's all these things that I've been thinking about, like, but haven't had like an opportunity to really talk about.
Oh girl, so, I'm here for you when you want to. Like, I love to ball out and like talk stories. So yeah, I'm here for that.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So we'll pick up again next time. Let's schedule another session sometime. I want to keep up with you, as you know, things kind of open up with the Cat Cafe.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to be there opening
day. Oh, thanks.
For sure.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
But before we go, though, before we cut this short, go ahead and tell people who are listening where they can find you again, how they can support your business.
Yeah. So you can go to popokent.com. And I forgot to mention that popoki is the Hawaiian word for cat, in case.
So that's cute. I always wondered that, because that's such a cute name, and your logo is so cute.
Oh, thanks. The logo was designed in PowerPoint. But
was that you?
Yeah, it was me. Yeah.
Oh, you.
Yeah, yeah, being resourceful. But so it's popokiandtea, popokient.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can sign up for our wait list for our cat lounge, so you can be one of the first to experience it when we open.
Uh-huh.
And and then just follow us on Instagram or Facebook at popokient,
and they can see all the
cute pictures,
and
our
cute
boba
new families.
And yes, exactly. and you can also find out like that way whenever we'll be having a pop-up.
Sounds good. Man, I'm so glad. I'm so upset we have to wrap up. I was really enjoying this.
Next time.
All right, well then that's all we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. Bye. That is it for this episode of the Rising Tide Podcast. Thank you so much again for listening in. If you enjoyed this episode and found some value in the things that we talked about, please don't hesitate to share it with your friends and family. Also, if you wouldn't mind leaving the podcast a review, I would totally dig that. I look forward to hearing any and all feedback that you guys might have for the show. You know, I really want to know what kind of discussions and topics y'all are interested in, how you relate to our talks, and last but definitely not least, if you know of someone who has a great passion and or interesting story to tell, please email me at risingtidehnl@gmail.com, or you can shoot me a DM on Instagram. My tag is @risingtidehnl. We all have a story to tell, and it's just a matter of allowing the world to hear it. So hit me up, drop a name, and let's keep this conversation flowing. Until then, I'll see you in the next episode. Take care and aloha.